So tonight's shiur is on Tisha B'Av. It's tied to Tisha B'Av. The title of the shiur tonight is Titus's Defilement of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's tied to the 16th kina on Tisha B'Av day. So the 16th kina on Tisha B'Av day is Zechur Asher Asa Tzar Bifinim, and it describes the story that we're going to look at in the Gemara. And there's a whole medrash in the Gemara as to what happened when the Beis HaMikdash was breached, and Titus, the son of Vespasian, who at the time was who became the emperor of Rome. So there's a whole story there. There's a whole medrash, and there's two parts to it, to the medrash. So I broke it up into two sections. So we're going to look at both sections. The first section is really what the kina is based on. So if we look in the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, so I'm going to share with you the first part of the story of what happened with Titus. So it goes as follows. Azal Shadre Letitus. So if you look in the Gemara in source number one, Vespasian had just learned that he became emperor of Rome, and he sent Titus to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Amar, and he said, Elohim Otsur Chasayubo. So he said this pasuk from Devarim, it's from Hazinu, where is Hashem, the rock in whom they trusted? So Titus is kind of goading Hashem, and he uses this pasuk. It says, V'amar e Elohim Otsur Chasayubo. So the story says, Ze, who's this? Ze Titus Arasha, Shechire Figidev Klape Mala. And this is a reference to Titus, who ended up blaspheming Hashem. He was blasphemous towards Hashem. So you have this guy, Titus, this Roman general, the son of Vespasian, and he's kind of taunting Hashem. Ma'asa, so what did he do? Tafas Zona Biyado Vinichnas Leviz Karchia Kadashim. So this general, he took this prostitute, and he also took a Sefer Torah, and he spread it out in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he was over Avera. He was with her in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then what happened? And then he took out his sword, and he cut the paroches. The paroches was the curtain that divided the Heichal from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this was in the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So what happened was, this evil man, Titus, who was a Roman general, son of Vespasian, he ends up deciding to take a harlot, a zona, a prostitute, and he also takes a Sefer Torah, and he spreads the Sefer Torah out in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's over Avera, he's with her. And then afterwards, he takes out his sword, and he cuts into the paroches. V'nase nes, v'haya dam, v'atzveitz v'yotze. And there was this miracle that occurred at the time where blood was spurting out of the paroches. Uchsavur harages atmo. And he believed that he had killed Hashem. Harages atmo is a euphemism for killing Hashem. If you look in source number two, Rashi, three lines down, he says, atmo kinoi klape mala. So Titus, after he had done this heinous act in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the Sefer Torah with the prostitute, he ends up doing this thing where he cuts the paroches, but there's this nes that occurs, this miracle, and blood starts pouring out of the paroches, and Titus believed that he had killed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Shagu Tzorecha Bekarav Moadecha, Samu Ososam Osos. So it's a Pasuk from Tehillim, and it says, your adversaries have roared in the midst of your assembly and have set up their ensigns for signs. So we're going to look at that pasuk in specific. But it's a reference to the idea that Titus maintained or believed that he had killed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you look in source number two, it says, Shagu Tzorecha Bekarab Moadecha. It's Rashi. Bevayesh She'ata Mizvaed Bo. So Moadecha is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. It's the house in which Hashem meets. He meets with, it's like the meeting place of Hashem. Samu osos sam osos amrush simanehon siman dam ze shalmihu imlo sharagnu as atmo. So they maintain that this was a sign, that the blood that spurted out from the paroches was a sign that referenced the idea that he had killed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So of course the question, well, let's finish the first part of the story. Abba Shchanan Omer, so Abba Chanan said with regard to this, Michamocha chasin ka, Michamocha chasin vikasha. Who is like you? It's a pasuk in Tehillim also. Who is like you that is strong, that shows self-restraint? Michamocha chasen v'kasha, you're hard. She'ata shomea ni'utso v'gidufo shel oso rasha v'shosek. That you, Hashem, you listen to the insults and the blasphemy of this rasha, and you're quiet. Derei Rabbi Yishmael tana michamocha be'ilim Hashem michamocha be'ilimim. And the house of Rabbi Yishmael, they learned out that it was, or Debei Rabbi Shmuel learned out that it's Micha Mocha. We know this from the Oz Yashir. Instead of Micha Mocha Be'ilim Hashem, it says Micha Mocha Be'ilimim. Ilimim means a mute. So it's a person who can't talk. So the idea is, who is like you, Hashem, who can't talk, who is mute. So that's the end of the first part of the story. To summarize the story, so the story tells us that that Titus was this evil Roman general, and he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim with a Sefer Torah and a prostitute, and he's over Avera in the Kodesh Kodashim, and then he takes out his sword to cut the Paroches, which was the curtain that separated the Kodesh Kodashim from the Heichal, and what happened was blood started coming out, and that was a nace. The Gemara says that it was a nace. And as a result of that, there are three psukim that are brought down in the Gemara to explain it. So, of course, the question on the story, which is the basis for the Kina number 16, is what's the idea of this nace? Fine, so he did this horrible thing. He was this horrible guy, horrible general. And there's this strange nace that occurred when he cut the parochas. And, of course, the question is, it didn't have to be like that. The Gemara says specifically, the nasa nace, that the nace was, a nace occurred. So what was the purpose of this nace? Why did this nace have to be done, or what was the benefit of this nace occurring at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? So what do we learn from this nace? So that's the question. So let's just look at some of the psukim inside to try to analyze that idea, but I think there's different approaches to how to understand the nace, and also how to understand the way that the psukim brought down by the Tanaim explain the story. So if you look in source number 3, let's look at the pasuk that the first part of the Gemara quotes, and it says, V'amar e Elohim otzur chasayu bo. And it's source number 3, it's Devarim Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Lamed Zayin. So it means, where is Hashem, where is your God? The rock in which everybody trusts in. So if you look in Rabbeinu B'chaye, in source number 4, he says, V'amar e Elohimo, V'amar Oyev. This is a reference to the Oyev which is the enemy. E Elohimo, where is your God? V'chein amar Titus Arasha, Kishagadar HaParochas. So Titus Arasha said the same thing. He said this phrase. So he was taunting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hu shekasav, v'tere oyavti u'suchase busha ha'umra elai ayo Hashem Elokecha. It's a pasuk from Micha. It means, and my enemy shall see, and shame shall cover her, who says, where is the Lord your God? So Rabbeinu B'chaye, he learns the pasuk the way the Gemara learns it. In fact, the pshat of the pasuk in Hazinu is different. Elohimo, some shitas say, is a reference to Avodah Zarah, that Hashem is saying, where are your gods? Where is the Avodah Zarah? But Rabbeinu B'chaye learns like the Gemara, like our Gemara in Gittin, and he says it's a reference to Titus, that Titus was really trying to taunt Hashem, and he was saying that Hashem's presence is not here anymore, he's absent. So that's the basis for the Gemara. It's like the starting point of the Gemara. But then the Gemara says that a nace was done at the time after the Avera and at the time that he cut open the parochas. So what's the idea of the nace? So the first explanation is Tosfos. And Tosfos, usually Tosfos is very halachic, but here he gives a philosophical idea. And if you look in source number 5, very short, he says, V'nasa nace v'hayadam lehodia dekashe lefnei amakom churban beis hamikdash. So it's to teach us that it was hard for Hashem. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't easy for him. It wasn't like he was just enjoying it, or that it wasn't just pleasant for him. It was actually difficult for him. And the blood somehow symbolize the idea, or reference the idea, that it was kasher lifnei makom. So we have to understand, Tosfos makes sense. He's giving us a nice idea. He's saying that it was kasher lifnei makom, that Hashem was present, so to speak, or there's some idea of the Shechina there, or some Hashgacha there, and that it was kasher, it was hard for him. And that's the idea of the nace. But what's that idea of it being hard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course, we know that Hashem doesn't have emotions, and we don't believe in Hashem having emotions. So what's the idea that it was hard for him, that it was kasher for him? What's the purpose, or how do we explain that expression of hardness? So I think if we go through some of the psukim, we'll understand Tosfos a little bit deeper. But before we get to Tosfos, there's another possibility before we explain him. So I just wanted to bring down Tosfos on the Gemara. And he says it's in order to tell us that Hashem was troubled by this experience. But if you look in Yuma, so I brought down this Gemara for an alternative possibility before we get into the main Rishon of Tosfos. And I saw this in, I want to give credit to the Daf al Daf, which is, it's one of the compendiums of the Gemara. It kind of shows you different questions that people ask. So one of the questions they ask is from this Gemara in Yuma. And it gave me an idea. It kind of hinted to a concept. So if you look in source number 6, the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph says, Tana, it's talking about the Hazos, when they would sprinkle dam on Yom Kippur, and in various situations, So the Gemara explains that they would sprinkle it either near the paroches, which is the curtain that divided the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or they would actually sprinkle it on the paroches. So it says, Tana, kishuhu mazeh, when he does the hazaya, when he does the sprinkling, eno mazeh ala paroches, ala kineged paroches. So he shouldn't sprinkle it on the paroches itself, but next to the paroches. So Am Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi said, Ani ra'isiha baromi. I went to Rome, and I saw the paroches. V'hayu aleha kama tipe damim shel par v'sayir shel Yom HaKippurim. And I saw that there was actual blood. There were drops of blood from the par and the se'irim of Yom Kippur. So the avoda, the service of Yom Kippur, part of the service was sprinkling the dam of the par and the se'irim on the paroches itself, or next to the paroches. And the Rebbe Lazar, when he visited Rome, he actually saw proof that this was done this way. In fact, he saw the drops of blood on the paroches. V'dilma de par helem davar shel tzibor usi'irei avodah zarah havu. So the Gemara asks, how do you know it was from Yom Kippur? Maybe it was from other korbanos, the si'irei avodah zarah, which were brought to bring kapara for avodah zarah, or if the nation made a mistake, if there was a big shogig, they would also do hazaya. They would sprinkle it on the paroches. How do you know that? D'chaza d'avidi kesidron. So he saw that it was done in a certain order. And the order that it was done in reflected that it was from Yom Kippur. And then you have the opposite. It's not nami gabe parhelm davar shel tzibor. Ki hai gavna kishu maze lo hayu nogin b'paroches v'nagu nagu. So they teach the opposite. By the parhelm davar and the se'irei avodah zarah, which were other services where they would do hazaya next to the paroches, that they wouldn't try to touch the paroches, but if it touched it, it touched it. So Am Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi ani ra'isiha baromi. So this is the opposite story. Rabbi Elazar, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, had a story where he was in Rome. Rabbi Elazar was in Rome. V'hayu aleha kama tipe damim shel parhelim davar shel tzibor u'si'ir avodah zarah. So he saw drops of blood on the paroches. V'dilma de par v'sa'ir shel Yom HaKippurim ninu. So the Gemara says, how do you know that it was from the si'ir avodah zarah and the parhelim davar, those korbanos? Maybe it was from the Yom Kippur avodah. D'chazinu davidi shelo kesedron. So I saw that it wasn't done in the same order, the normal order of the avodah of Yom Kippur. So why did I bring in this Gemara? So it gave me an idea about related to our Gemara. So I think that there's a tie-in. So you see from the Gemara in Yuma that there was an idea of the blood, even if you didn't do the Hazayas directly on the paroches, the blood actually touched the paroches and it was on the paroches. So the idea of Hazayah and sprinkling of the dam is essential to the kapara, to the atonement process on Yom Kippur, which atoned for all of Klal Yisrael, and also in certain extreme situations, Se'irei Avodah Zarah or Parhelim Davar, which are situations where there are big flaws in Klal Yisrael. So they would do this Hazayah by the paroches, and it would give kapara to the Jewish people, it would create kapara. And the blood would actually, it says from the story, we see that the blood would be attached, it would be stained on the paroches itself. And in fact, Rabbi Elazar, when he was in Rome, he saw this, he saw proof of this. So what is the idea of the nace, according to this approach? So I think the idea of the nace, before we understand Tosfos, is that the idea of the nace is that it was expressing the gravity of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash in this one event of the dam spurting out. It was expressing the idea that the kapara was, or the loss of the kapara, the loss of the ability to do hazaya on the paroches was being expressed through the idea of the blood spurting out. Meaning the kapara occurred through the hazaya, through the blood staining the paroches, and now the opposite was occurring in the paroches. The blood was spurting out of the paroches. So the idea of the nis was to try to teach us a deep idea that we should understand at the destruction, in the destruction of the mikdash, of the Beis HaMikdash, we should really fathom and understand the loss of kapara, the loss of that level of kapara of Yom Kippur, where we all got kapara through the hazaya and through the avoda bifnim. So that was all lost. So in the time of the destruction, we should be aware of, it was not for him, it was for us, for the Jewish people, that we should be aware through this story and through this event, we should really fathom the loss of kapara. We didn't just lose the makom of the mikdash and the beauty of the mikdash, but we lost opportunities for kapara. We lost the ability to be mechaper in the way that the paroch has provided in the past. So it's almost like an undoing. It's an opposite of what occurred through the kapara process. The kapara process occurred through the sprinkling of dam, and now in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the blood was spurting out. The opposite was occurring. So I was thinking about that idea to possibly explain the nes. But that's just based on the Daf al Daf who brought this down, brought this. He doesn't actually give an idea. He just brings this Gemara down as a stira to our Gemara. But it's not a stira that they didn't see this blood It's not a stira. It actually gives insight into Argamar, what the idea of the nace was. If you don't take it literally, there's an idea, there's a concept behind the nace, and it's not just a literal story, but it's also to teach us a point or an idea. So now let's get to the actual story. So what's Tosfos? What does Tosfos mean? It's like Anochi Imam Bitzara. There's an idea, there's a concept that Hashem is with us in our pain. So Tosfos said before that the idea of the blood spurting out is an idea that it was kasha lifnei hamakom. So what's that concept? What's the concept of kasha lifnei hamakom? So now I think this is the first idea that we can gain from the story. If you look in the psukim in source number 7, so if you look in Tehillim Perek Ayin Dal Pasuk Dal, it says shagu tzorecha bekerv moadecha samu ososam osos. So your enemies roared in your assembly house in the Beis Hamikdash, and they made their end signs for signs. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. So Rashi says, Mo'adecha, hu Beis Hamikdash, asher ne'mar bo v'no'ati l'chasham. So this is the Beis Hamikdash, that's where Hashem appeared to them. He met with Moshe, with the Jewish people. Samu oso sam. What does this mean, the Pasuk? Kishigavra yadam l'achrivo. So when the non-Jews were able to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, there is the Rashi over here, if you look at the Mefarshim, is referring to the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash by the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar. Oz sambu lahem es osos kismehem. So they relied on, or they accepted their avodah zarah, their signs. They used all these different tricks and signs, and they relied on all this avodah zarah to make their decisions. Shehem osos emes. They believed that they were true, that these signs were truthful. They would look at the stars. They would use all these different tricks and good luck charms in order to decide when they should attack. Umahe maksamem kilkil b'chitzim shal b'trafim. So what was the ksamim, the sorcery that they used? So they would shake the arrows and they would ask their idols. So Rashi is explaining that in the destruction, what is the pasuk teaching you? In the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, it's teaching us that as they destroyed the Mikdash, it also simultaneously credence was given to their avodah zarah. So the destruction of the Mikdash went hand in hand with the belief in avodah zarah. They aren't two separate ideas. They're not two separate points. But in the destruction of the Mikdash, the avodah zarah was given power. It was given strength. So there's a relationship between the downfall of the Beis HaMikdash and the upswing of avodah zarah, and that's by the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. But if you look in our Gemara, that pasuk is referencing the second Beis HaMikdash as well. So what's that idea? What's the concept? And maybe we can also explain Tosfos's ideas. So one other point before we get to the first idea is the Marsha. So the Marsha in source number 9. He says as follows: the Amar Elohimo Tzur Ze Titus Titus Kedivrei Rav Nechemya B'Sifri. So this is like Rav Nechemya and the Sifri Shadibir Akasav Klape Umos. It's referring to the other nations. The Amar HaOyev. The enemy says Ze Titus Elohimo Dahenu Kedimisayim Diksavor Shaharagis Atmo. So it's like the Gemara concludes that he maintained that he destroyed Hashem. Umaisi Nami Mahay Kra Samu Ososam Osos. So from the pasuk also you see this idea of the signs. Shehaya savor de osos the simonim shel harigas adam shehi yitzias adam he gamkin os hariga shel atzmo. So they also believed in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that the sign of blood, just like the sign of blood is a sign that you've killed a person, they also maintain that the sign of blood was a sign that they killed a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what is that idea? What's that concept? So I think with this Marsha, we can understand the Tosfos, we can understand what the Gemara is trying to teach us, one point. So I think it's deep. I think it's saying that in the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, we saw from Rashi that there was an upswing, there was credence given to the Avodah Zarah. But in the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, what ended up happening was part of the idea of the destruction was that the concept of God being non-physical and non-corporeal, so that idea was lost, or it destroyed somewhat, and it was somewhat affected by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, it was God's will, it was Hashem's will that happened. And that's the idea of the blood, the nace of the blood. The nace of the blood was the concept that in the destruction of the Mikdash, it also affected the perception of Hashem through the other nations. Meaning the other nations now, they had trouble, they had difficulty, and all the rest of the world had difficulty relating to Hashem in a non-physical way once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And through the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, their credence was given, or the idea that, that there's a physical, that Hashem is physical and there's physicality, that idea had had gained traction amongst the other nations. And there was a benefit to that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it that way. And in fact, that's the idea of the Nes. The Nes is that the Dom spurted out. Why? Why did the Dom spurt out? Because it was Hashem's will that his the idea of his non-physicality be tied somewhat to the Beis HaMikdash and the existence of the Beis HaMikdash. But once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so now it was God's will that it be more difficult, there be some type of barrier for the other nations to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to understand him in a non-physical way. And that's the idea of Tosfos. He says, Lehodia dekasha lifnei hamakom korban Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't mean that it was kasha. It doesn't mean emotionally. It doesn't mean that he was crying, that it was hard for him, because we don't really believe in that idea. It's the opposite. It's the idea that the image of God, the idea of God, was affected just like the korban affected Klal Yisrael, so too the image of God and the way God was able to be perceived was also diminished as a result of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the idea of Anochi Imam Betzara, that I'm with them in their pain. It means that whenever the Jews fall, whenever the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, whenever anything bad happens, it also affects how the other nations perceive Hashem. And in this situation, the other nations now lost the ability to really approach Hashem in a non-physical way. It affected them, and that was God's will. That's the idea of the Nes. So without the Nes, so the diminishment of the approach of the other nations to God and the perception of the other nations of God wouldn't have taken place, but the Nes was there in order to give some type of idea to the other nations, the Oivim, and to that they lose the ability somewhat to approach God in a non-physical way. So in the first Beis HaMikdash, the strength was given to the Avodah Zarah. And in the second Beis HaMikdash, the idea of God being physical was now prominent in the non-Jews' idea of God. So that's the idea that the point that I'm trying to express is that the Beis HaMikdash and its destruction also affected the way that Hashem's, the idea of Hashem and the concept of Hashem, it affected other nations in terms of their perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And once the Beis HaMikdash was gone, it also, they lost the ability to perceive Hashem properly. Either they gave credence to their Avodah Zarah, that was in the first Beis HaMikdash, but in the second one, it was more the idea that they couldn't perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a non-physical way. It was hard for them. They lost that through the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the idea of the Nes. So a couple other points in the story, but let me just summarize up to this point. So this is, again, this is based on the Kina, or the Kina is based on this Gemara, and I just expressed like two different ideas. One is the idea of the Daf al Daf in Yuma, that what's the Nes of the blood? The Nes of the blood is to express the loss of Kapara, the loss of the opportunity for Kapara. And we had that when the Mikdash was around, and we lost that. And the second possibility is that the Dam really fits into the Pasuk of Shagu Tzorarecha, that it's tied to the idea of the perception of Titus and the perception of all the Oivim, that now their perception was Haragas Atmo, that their perception was that God was now physical, that there was physicality. And, you know, that was part of God's will in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that his name and his idea be tied to the Beis HaMikdash intrinsically. And with its destruction, there was also loss of the perception of Hashem, the perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So two other beautiful points, though, in this Medrash. So even though this is a horrible experience, and the Kina expresses all the pain that we go through in trying to remember the story, but I think the two other ideas are really impactful, very powerful, that the Gemara expresses. There are two psukim quoted. One was by Abba Chanan, and the other one was Debei Rabbi Shmuel. It was in the name, and there were two psukim. One is, Micha Mocha Chasin V'Kasha, so who is like you, who shows self-restraint, and who can hold back, and is strong like that. And the other one is, Micha Mocha Be'ilmim, who is like you, who is mute, who's unable to speak. So what are those ideas? What's that concept? So they seem very similar. And if we look, we're going to look through some of the Mefarshim, but there's one idea here. So if you look in the Tehillim in source number 10, the Pshat has nothing to do with our Gemara. It says, Hashem Elokei Tzvakos, Micha Mocha Chasin Ka V'Emunascha Sivosecha. So it says that Hashem, the God of hosts, who is like you, who are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. So the Pasuk is very praiseworthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's saying that Hashem is very mighty, he's very strong, and his might is not comparable to anybody else. So if you look in the Radak over there, so let's look at the context of the Pasuk. So the Radak says that Hashem Elokei Tzvakos, we're introducing Hashem as the Elokei Tzvakos, as the Lord of Hosts. So what is that referring to? Tzvakos Shamayim, it's the heavens. He's the Lord of the heavens, the host of the heavens. Hu Elokeihem Umoshe Olehem. So he, meaning Hashem, is their God, and he controls them, he rules them. Chasin Ka, so he's very strong. Chasin Eino Samoch, it's not connected to the Ka, they're two separate words. Aval Hu Mukeres, it's distinct. Besheko Gavir Upirusho Chazak. So Chasin means very strong. Who is like Hashem, the Lord of Hosts, who is so strong? Kimo v'Chasin Hu Ka'alonim, v'Amar Ka, and it also uses the word Ka, Kihu Hashem Hamore Al Havaya Sa'olam Kula. So it's an idea of God being responsible for the existence of the world. Kihu Miito V'Chasin Mora Kihu Kiyum Ha'olam Achar Havyaso. The God is responsible for sustaining the world, and the world only exists because of God. Kimo Shenikra Chai Ha'olam. So it's a reference to the idea that God is surrounded by the Molochim, who actually testify to God's greatness. Klomar al kiyumecha v'amar micha mocha, who is like you? Klomar be'elyonim hakayamim b'hamakayim micha mocha, meaning who is like God amongst the heavens? So the pasuk in Tehillim over here is referring to the idea of Hashem as the creator. It's really Hashem as the controller, the ruler of the world, his greatness, his might over all the things that he created, the heavens. So the idea, the pshat of the pasuk is, who is like you in terms of your might, that you're able to control the whole entire world. And the other pasuk quoted is, if you look in source number 12, so that's by Az Yashir, it's part of Az Yashir, and it says, who is like Hashem, compared to the other gods, Ba'ilam Hashem, compared to others who are strong. Michamocha Nedabakodesh Norasilos Osefela. Elam means very strong. So if you look in the Torah Tmima, it's a similar pasuk, but it's in a different context. It's the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. So the first pasuk is in the context of God as the ruler, as the Bore, and the creator and the ruler of the world. And the second is in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if you look in the Torah Tmima, in source number 13, he says, Drasha zu huva begemara le'inan amaisim sh'asa titas. So he quotes our Gemara. And he says, V'darish michamocha be'ilmim, shekol kach ro'e v'shomea elbono kiviyachol v'shosek. That Hashem was witnessing this horrible stuff happening, and he was quiet. He was like a mute. He was quiet. Michamocha be'ilmim. So both psukim are similar in our Gemara, based on the Torah Tmima. The first is the idea that Hashem is strong, and he shows self-restraint. And the second idea is an idea that Hashem is mute. It's like he's holding back. He's shosik when Titus was doing all this in the Kadosh Kadashim. So what is that idea? What's the concept over here of the nace of the blood? And what are they saying? What are the Tanaim saying? So I think the idea is that they're very similar. I think the idea, the concept is that even in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the expression of Midas HaDin on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was his will that the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed, even then, we can discover insights into the character, the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even in the most horrible instance, the idea of the nace of the dam, what was it a nace for? So on the one hand, it was in order that the other nations perceive Hashem in a diminished way. They would lose out on the idea of God's lack of physicality, his non-physicality. But in the framework of the Jewish people, in our framework, we look at the story and we look at that nace, and the nace just shows you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to teach us an idea of his midos, trying to teach us about his uniqueness as a god, as a king, as a melech. That no other king. So let's think about this outside of the Mefarshim. So if any other king, if any human king were present when Titus were doing this, they would have to fight back. They would feel a need, an emotional need to fight back. And even if deep down inside they knew that Titus was justified, but their emotional attachment and their emotional inability to just hold back wouldn't be able to hold back. They would just have to fight back and even lose their lives in order to fight back. And the opposite would also be true. If the king wasn't there, if he wasn't present, so of course Titus, if a human king wasn't present, so of course he would be absent and Titus would be successful. So if the nace hadn't occurred of the blood for Klal Yisrael, so it would reflect the absence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Shekhinah was no longer there. But what's the idea that the Radak's expressing? And not just the Radak, the Gemara, sorry. So the idea is that the Gemara is trying to teach us that even in that moment where Titus was evil and the blood came out, so even there we learn about the uniqueness of God as a melech, as a king. And it's in two frameworks. The framework of the first pasuk is the framework of Hashem as the ruler of the world, and the world's existence is dependent on him. So we can derive an idea, or we can see the idea of God as a bore, as a creator, in the fact that he demonstrated superhuman, but of course it's not just superhuman, it's non-human quality of restraint. So the idea of him holding back was more of a demonstration of him being a unique kind of king, a unique type of melech and God, than any other human melech, because I just showed you that any human melech who was present would have to fight back, or in this situation, if they weren't there, nothing would happen, but if they were present, they would have to fight back. But the idea is that we praise Hashem, we recognize his greatness, even from the framework of this story, and even from the framework of this horrible situation, we recognize his uniqueness as a God, that he's able to show restraint. He's able to give in to the ideas of justice and what Klal Yisrael really deserve, and he's able to hold back. And even if it affects him and it diminishes his name and diminishes the perception of him, but if it's his will and if he recognizes and that's his will, so we say that makes him unique. That makes him unique as a God. So we can't relate to him in a human way. We relate to him in a unique way. And in two frameworks, there are two frameworks in which we can reflect on God and his greatness through this nes. One is in the framework of God as the ruler and the creator, and that's from Micha Mocha Chasinka. Like the Radak says, the whole context of that is creation and rulership. And the other is in the idea of God's hashgacha towards Klal Yisrael. That in Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem demonstrated hashgacha. That's Micha Mocha Ba'ilim Hashem. After we saw that hashgacha, so we saw Micha Mocha. We said, how great is Hashem that no other gods are like him? But in this framework, we also see how his hashgacha operates, and we can learn about his hashgacha through this as well. And God is in the framework of God being Mashkiach on the people, on the Jewish people, we also can derive, you know, an idea about his greatness, his uniqueness. So even in the framework of our destruction, God gave us a nes. He gave us an idea about his midah. He gave us an idea that expresses his uniqueness, the idea of self-restraint, the idea of holding back and allowing this to occur was really an idea of that reflected on his uniqueness, on his qualities as a bore and a mashki and ashgacha, and the ability to be mashkiach on the part of Klal Yisrael. So we can't just derive ideas about the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the positives, from the nisim, the positive nisims of Micha Mocha Ba'ilam Hashem. By Oz Yashir, we saw great might. But this is also an expression of might, just in a more subtle way. But it's an expression of a superhuman, a non-human type of might, the type of self-restraint expressed here. So that's the idea of the story. So let me just summarize, and then we'll get to the last part. The last part is very difficult to understand. It's really wild. So I'll read you the last part of the Gemara. But the first part was the main element of the Shir, and the first part is really the story, which is the basis for the Kina. And we saw that Titus did this evil act in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then when he tries to split and he tries to sever the paruchas, blood spurts out. So what's the idea of the blood? So we said there's three different ideas, really. One is the idea of the yuma, that it's really an expression of the loss of kapara. The second idea is the concept of tosfos, really, that the concept is that it was for the other nations, that the name of God and the idea of God was now diminished to the point where the other nations can only view Hashem in a corporeal way, in a physical way. And the last idea is for the Jewish people, that even in this experience, Hashem did this chesed for us, and he gave us this opportunity to learn about him. And even in this horrible tragedy, we're able to derive the concept that God is creator, that concept that God, you know, is Mashkiach on Klal Yisrael, through the idea that he showed this tremendous self-restraint. The idea of self-restraint for a human king would never be possible, but the idea clearly expresses the fact that Hashem is non-physical and he's unique in that sense, and his might, it's an idea of might. It's a more subtle idea of might and strength. Okay, that's the idea of Micha Mocha Chasinka. It's might, and Micha Mocha Ba'elim. Ba'elim, the pshat is chazak, is chazaka, is strength. So the strength over here was the restraint. But there's a strength to self-restraint, And that's an idea of Gvura that we're not used to seeing. We're used to seeing it in a positive sense. In the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we praise Hashem. But now it's the opposite. We even see it in the tragedy of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. All right, so now, just to take a stab at the last part of the Gemara, it's a little bit difficult to understand, but I think there's one point possibly. So it says like this, before we get into the Gemara, there's one thing that I think we've all derived from the story also. In 15 in Tehillim, the Avos Rabbi Nosson says that this pasuk in Tehillim is a reference to Titus, and it says, Al tavoini regel gaiva v'yad rasha'im al tenadeni. So let the foot of haughtiness not come with me, neither shall the hand of the wicked cause me to wander. So the idea of Titus in Tehillim is the gaiva, is the bal gaiva, the arrogant one. And this is a nevuah. This nevuah in Tehillim was referencing Titus, that he was really super arrogant. And we see that through the story, the beginning of the story, but you even see that at the end of the story. So let's look in source number 16. This is a hard Gemara, so I'm going to read some of the English inside. It says, Ma'asa. So after this point, the whole story with the blood, and he thought he killed God. So Ma'asa, what did he do? Natal saparuches va'aso kimin gargusani. So he took this paroches, the curtain that had spurted out blood, and he made it into a basket. Vehivi kol kalim shebamikdash vehinicha bohen. So he took all the kalim in the mikdash, in the base of mikdash, all the vessels, and he put them in the paroches. Veoshivan besvino leilech lehishtabech beiro. And he was very proud of conquering the base of mikdash, and he was going to take it back to Rome and show off all these kalim, these vessels. Shenemar v'chein ra'isi risham kavurim uvo mimakom kadosh yalechu v'shtachu beira sharkein asu. So there's a pasuk that references that idea that he took the kalim back. And then it says, Al tikre kavurim ela kavutzim. So don't read it as being buried, but rather being collected, meaning he collected all the vessels. Al tikre vishtachu, they weren't forgotten, ela vishtabchu. But he used them to praise himself, to praise his conquer. Ika da'amri, some say, kvura mamesh dafilu mili demetamran iglaya lahon. So some say that in that pasuk, it's a reference to the idea that Titus was able to find even the things that were hidden, even things that were hidden in the Beis HaMikdash that were buried. So he dug out the Beis HaMikdash and he took all the vessels and he was bringing them back to Rome. So now he keeps taunting. Amar Alav Nechshol should be Yom Letovo. So there was a storm and it was about to sink the ship that he was on. Amar Kimedumi Ani Sheloheim Shel Elu Ein Gvuraso El Bemayim. So he said, oh, their God, again, he's referencing to the God as in a physical sense, God's courage is only, his courageousness is only in water, meaning Hashem can only affect and do nisim on water. Ba paro tavu b'mayim. So by paro, he did a nes with the water. Ba sisra tavu b'mayim. So too with sisra, the nes was with water. Af hu omed alai l'tovani b'mayim. He wants to drown me too. Im gibor hu yala liyabasha v'yase imi milchama. So if he's such a courageous God, so tell him to do war with me on the dry land. So Titus was in this boat. He took all the vessels, and he's in this boat, and this storm comes up, and he taunts Hashem, and he says, oh, you can only kill me in the water. Why don't you battle me on land? So now it's Yatsa Baskol of Amrlo. So this Baskol came out, this voice came out, and it said to Titus, Russia ben Russia ben Benoshel Esav Russia. So you are this wicked guy who comes from Esav. Beria kala yishli ba'olami v'yitushma. So I have this very small type of creature, and it's a gnat. So he took this gnat. This is all medrash. Amai kari le beria kala. Why was it called a very light creature? Dema'alna isla umafakna lesla. So it consumed food, but it never excreted any food. So I'm not familiar with this type of animal, but the Gemara says that Hashem's response to Titus was that there's this very small gnat. And the gnat, what makes it so light and so small is that it can consume food, but it doesn't excrete any food. Ala liyabasha vitasa ima milchama. So this gnat was on the dry land, and it decided to battle with Titus. Ala liyabasha ba yitush v'nichnas b'chotmo. So when Titus got off his boat and he got onto the land, this gnat went into his nose, v'nakar b'mocho shevashanim, and it made a hole in his brain for 7 years. So there's a nace, another nace in the Gemara, and it says that Hashem, he battled Titus with this gnat. And this gnat went into the nose of Titus, and it was really causing him a lot of trouble. One could can only imagine having a gnat in their mind, in their brain, or feeling like something was kind of hitting on your brain all the time. Yom Echad, and now this is, it gets a little strange from here. Yom Echad have a kachalif above a devei nafcha. So one time he passed by the blacksmith, Shamakal Arzapasa Ishtik. So when he heard the clanking sound, so it stopped, the gnat stopped. Omar Ikatakanta. So there's a way to fix the clanking in my head. I'll just walk by the blacksmith. Kol Yoma Maisu Nafra Umachu Kamei. So he would keep walking by this blacksmith. Lenachri Yavle Arbazuzi. He would even pay him money, because the banging of the blacksmith would make his head stop ringing. Liyisrael Amrle Mistayach Deka Chazis Pesanach. But if a Jew was doing it, he would just say, it's enough that you see and you're happy at the downfall of your enemy. So Ad Slesen Yomen Avad Hachi, he did this for 30 days. Mikan Ve'elach Kevon Dedash Dash. So then the gnat got used to the sound and it didn't help him anymore. And then finally, at the end of this Gemara, Tanya Amar Rabbi Pinchas Ben Eruva Ani Ayisi Ben Gdole Romi Ukshemes Patsu Es Mocho. So when Titus died, they opened up his skull. They did an autopsy. Umatsubo Kitsipor Dror Mishkal Shnei Slaim. So they saw like a little bird, a little sparrow inside of his head, the size of two slime. And then the Gemara keeps going on. It says it was different things they found in his head. Okay, so what's the idea of the Gemara? The end of the Gemara. I just want to express one idea. It's not going to explain the whole Medrash. It's a very difficult Medrash, and I was looking for a different Mefarshim, but I couldn't find many. But what's the idea? The idea seems to be that Titus was this Baal Gaiva, and the idea was that Hashem allowed Titus and his Gaiva to succeed because he wanted. It was his will, like I said before, it was his will that the non-Jews perceive Hashem in a distorted way, in a diminished way. But the idea of the gnat, the concept of the gnat, was that it was really mida k'neged mida of the gaiva of Titus, because the Baal Gaiva thinks that he's a strong, healthy creature, and to take a gnat, to take the smallest creature, the tiniest creature, and to destroy the person with it, so it's really mida k'neged mida, it's really justice towards Titus on a personal level to destroy him with a gnat, because he was this tremendous Baal Gaiva, he had this tremendous idea of himself, and now the smallest creature in the world could take him down. It's like a bacteria, basically, that it could take him down. So the idea was to knock down and to really attack Titus from the framework of his gaiva, and that's why I brought in the pasuk in Tehillim about how Titus is referenced as the Baal Gaiva. He's the arrogant one. So at the end of the story, it's showing us that Hashem obviously had the ability to destroy Titus, and he does at the end, but he wanted this to occur. He allowed the whole story to occur in order that this event have this type of effect on the other nations. But in the end of the day, there was Hashkacha. There was Hashkacha through nature to destroy Titus with Mida K'neged Mida in a way where it would destroy his arrogance and break down his arrogance. So if you could look through the story, I can't explain all the details, and if anybody has any possibilities, just email them to me, but a very difficult story. So let me just summarize the shiur, so we're finished with the shiur. I wanted to do something related to Tisha B'Av, because we're in the 3 weeks here, and I saw this Kina number 16, and there's a Gemara that the Kina is based on, and the Gemara, the beginning part of the Gemara, which is really what the Kina is based on, is very fascinating, and it talks about the second base of Mikdash, and the idea that Titus went in and he defiled a prostitute and also a Sefer Torah simultaneously in the Kodesh Kodashim, and then he took out his sword to cut the paroches, and a nes occurred, and blood came out. And we said that the blood was trying to express different ideas. In the framework of the non-Jews, it was to try to teach them or to try to give them a false idea, a distorted idea about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because with the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, there was also a loss of the idea of a Kodesh Baruch Hu as a non-physical, unique God. But in the framework of Klal Yisrael, we have a different approach. We see that even in the destruction of Klal Yisrael, of the Beis HaMikdash, there's an idea of Gvura, there's an idea of might, of strength, and it's the idea of strength, of self-restraint. But that's an idea demonstrating that God is non-physical, that He's unique, that He's the Creator, He's Mashgiach. Only that type of being, only that type of existence could show or demonstrate that level of self-restraint. Kaviyachol, if there was a human king, so he would not be able to hold back. So the idea of the Nes was to teach us this idea in Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Midah of strength, of self-restraint, that we have to analyze and appreciate and be Mishtabeach, even though in the spite of our destruction and our downfall. And then finally, we have this story about Titus, and I'm just trying to show you that Titus did get punished in the end, but it wasn't a punishment that destroyed the effects of Titus, because the effects were wanted, were the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it was really the idea of how the Hashgacha now operated in the framework of the natural world to destroy Titus in a Mida K'neged Mida. The idea was to use the smallest creature possible to destroy the person with the haughty, the largest head, you know, the haughty, The haughty individual can now be taken down by the smallest creature. So that's really the idea. All right, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate